Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Survival and Beyond, and I'm your host, Ed Corcoran. We're broadcasting to you on Natural News Radio, as well as the Prepper Podcast Radio Network. And I'm awful glad to have you all listening. I'm glad, I'm grateful, my regular followers, my weekly listeners. It's great to be talking to you, and hopefully I'm waking some people up and getting some people prepared, helping people get their survival on. And boy, we got another great show this week. Another jam-packed show. My opening segment, I don't have a whole lot of time to talk. Even less time than I usually do, because we've got three guests on the show this week. And, we're going to be talking to, Jim Stach, who He runs, or he's the host of Freedom Fighter Radio, and he runs freedomfighterradio.net, and a true patriot, 100% American, and he's out there getting us all the information about the New World Order and all of the shady deals that are going on behind our back and the threats to our liberty and to our sovereignty and our freedom. And he's bringing us one story that he's really been trying to get out there to the people and wake people up with is the collusion of some organizations that you might even support, some so-called conservative organizations, specifically Numbers USA. Some of you might be familiar with that organization. It's a it's an organization that promotes immigration reform, trying to quell the flood of illegal immigrants coming into the country. And it turns out that they've got connections with Agenda 21. And if you don't know what Agenda 21 is, then oh boy, we talk about it here on Survival and Beyond a lot. I think it's one of the bigger threats that are out there. It's basically the globalist agenda. You know, there is an agenda to create a world government, to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, to eliminate the borders, to basically abolish personal and private property, and especially with the signing of the Rural Council Act last year that Obama signed into effect. And they have a plan, and it's not a conspiracy theory. You can go on the UN website anytime you like and get all the information about that. And you can go on to, we've reported about it on survivalandbeyond.net. You can look it up there. And you can check out freedomfighterradio.net. And he's got the whole scoop on this. This is a full-on assault of our sovereignty. And, you know, a lot of people, when I talk about it to some people, they dismiss it, you know, because people think that the UN is just some bumbling bureaucracy that can't get anything accomplished. Make no mistake, my friends, the globalist machine is functioning just as it ought to, and it's infiltrating our country through our legislation, through non-governmental organizations, through all kinds of mandates and It's too big for me to give you a description of it in the few minutes and seconds that I have right now. But a lot of you, I'm sure, know what I'm talking about. You're aware of Agenda 21. You're aware of their depopulation plans. The globalist agenda is to not population control, population reduction. So we're going to have Jim on the show and talking about that, as well as other patriot issues and other liberty issues. But first, we're going to have Craig Caudill and Dan Bacon from Dan's Depot and Nature Alliance School. And that's dansdepot.com and naturealliancechool.com, respectively. And they're going to be on talking about what they do, their own personal survival and preparedness philosophies. And we had a great conversation, and it's just a whole jam-packed show for everybody. And just stick around, hang tight. I'm not going to have a chance to talk about some of the other issues that I wanted to bring up. Like I was listening to the Democratic National Convention a little bit earlier today, and last night actually, and oh boy, if I was put off by the Republican National Convention, I was downright disgusted by the celebration of delusion that was going on at the DNC. But anyway, that's going to have to be for another time, because right now we've got to get the show on the road. We got to get things cranking up. So we're going to come right back with Dan Bacon and Craig Caudill from Dan's Depot right after this.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service, very low shipping, and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices. And CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran-owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born on preparation.
Okay, and we're back. And the folks at Camping Survival wanted me to tell you guys that just for Survival and Beyond listeners, you can get 5% off on your purchases at CampingSurvival.com. All you have to do is enter the special coupon code SB Radio. That's S as in survival, B as in beyond, and the word radio. And you'll get 5% off any purchase at CampingSurvival.com. So go and get yours today. Now, next up, we have with us Dan Bacon from Dan's Depot and Craig Cottle from Nature Reliance School. Both are longtime outdoorsmen and wilderness survival instructors with a lifetime of experience in bushcraft and primitive survival skills. Craig has trained with such prominent instructors such as Dave Canterbury, Tom Laskowski, and Richard Cleveland. And he's also a martial arts instructor with black belts in judo, aikido, and several other martial arts disciplines. And he's a certified defense tactics instructor. So welcome to the show, guys. I'm glad to have you on.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep.
Now, Dan, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your particular philosophy with preparedness and how it differs from what most people think of as in terms of survival preparedness.
I think of preparedness as being more of a lifestyle than an activity per se. Probably comes from where I grew up, which is upstate New York. And up there, during the wintertime, you had to be ready for pretty severe snowstorms and other things. So to me, it was just something I kind of grew up with. I didn't think of it as a separate thing from life, you know, being prepared or not being prepared. It was more just the lifestyle that we had up there.
Right. So where most of us, you know, we're thinking about the end of the world as we know it, you know, getting ready for when the crap hits the fan and everything. And could you elaborate on that a little bit? How do you integrate this into your everyday life?
For instance, I've got some people call it a daily loadout. But when I get up in the morning, obviously put my clothes on. The first thing that goes in my pocket is my Swedish fire steel and obviously my keys and my pocket knife. And then on my belt, I have a multi-tool and a flashlight and sometimes a sheath knife. But to me, it's not I'm not trying to make a statement or a point. It's just stuff that I use on a daily basis.
Right. This is your everyday carry, or EDC as it's called.
Right.
And any recommendations to people out there as far as, like, everybody has their own idea of, you know, this is my EDC, this is what I carry every day. Are there any things that that you think that are maybe overlooked or things that most people don't think about to carry with them? Like, the fire steel is one perfect example. I carry a fire steel in my car. I have one in my glove compartment. I have one on my keychain. You don't really, a lot of people don't really think about that in terms of, like, you know, what am I going to need a fire starter for? But, you know, it's something that I think is important to have with you. Is there anything else that you think that other people might benefit from having in their EDC?
I would say just the basic stuff, like maybe a small first aid kit, something like that. Mm-hmm. Another thing, if I wear cargo pants, I'll tuck some paracord or what I call mule tape into one of the cargo pockets.
Right.
But something I've learned from Craig is survival, what we call survival priorities. And it starts off with the rule of three, and I'm sure Craig can go into this more. But one of the things that he emphasizes is core body temp, and that's a three-hour category. But if you've got an elevated or lowered core body temp, you're probably going to die after a little while.
Right.
And it's much more important, actually, than either water or food. So, again, that's where the fire steel and like a belt knife comes in, because you can build a shelter or do what you need to obviously raise or lower your core body.
And Craig, one of the things that, well, what Dan was mentioning, and why don't we just go with that as far as the importance, we talk about the rule of threes and everything, and everybody gets two of them right, but nobody ever gets the first one, the most important one. And why don't you elaborate on that a little bit, and as far as like what Dan was mentioning is maintaining core body temperature and all that.
Well, maintaining core body temp is obviously very important, but I think one of the things that does get missed, I don't know if this is what you're alluding to or not, Ed, is basically personal safety. Because if you're not breathing and your blood is not flowing, you're not going to make it 3 minutes,
right,
let alone 3 hours. So one of the things that, you know, that we try to emphasize for folks that just gets missed a lot is, you know, you don't put yourself in situations where you're going to be causing a body malfunction or a bleeding wound, because you can't last. So personal safety to me is one of the most important aspects, obviously from a need perspective, but just in general. I mean, you want to make sure that you're breathing and your blood's flowing. Beyond that and body heat, you know, that's why I agree with Dan 100% in that you've got to have some type of fire starter on your person at all times. I mean, you've got to be carrying either a lighter, because it's just too easy to use, or a fire steel or something of that nature. Yeah.
Yeah, and also that's a good point too. As far as the lighters go, you know, it's like I mention that all the time. Is like, you know, got to have. I've got lighters everywhere, and you know, and people think that, you know, oh, isn't that cheating? Isn't that the easy way out? I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, like, just because something's easy, that's a perfect reason to have it. Yeah,
absolutely. I think people. I mean, it's too simple. And I think you get into, in survival methodology, you get into this mindset that you've got to do something with primitive skills. And I do primitive skills. I grew up doing primitive skills, reenacting and pre-revolutionary type stuff. So, you know, I'm good with a bow drill and can handle that. But at the same time, you know, the whole game of survival is maintaining core body temp and safety and calories in, calories out. So the flick of a lighter is too easy. You don't have to expend any calories to make fire, and you, which means you don't have to go out and find more calories to make up for those that you've lost.
Right.
So simple, you know, kiss it as true. Keep it simple.
Absolutely, yeah. And if anybody who's ever attempted to start a fire using a bow drill or any other primitive method knows that that's going to burn a lot of calories, and it's not going to be expedient. You know, it takes time. And even your former instructor, Dave Canterbury, admits that, you know, he's not very proficient at starting a fire using a bow drill.
No, and I mean, I just did a video series for the Dan's Depot project where I took people through, you know, making a bow drill and how to go about doing it. And in the end of the series, I didn't do it. I didn't make it because I had a couple issues that came up. And, you know, that's under pretty good circumstances, really. That's not me stressed out or me not with an injury. The weather conditions were okay for what I was doing, and I still didn't get it. And that's a problem, you know. But I guarantee you that if I had lit a lighter, I could have got fire that day.
Right.
So it's just too simple. It's just too simple not to have in your kit.
Absolutely. And why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your videos?
Oh, great. Thanks for asking. I do a ton of videos. I try to do 2 or 3 a week for dansdepot.com. So check out dansdepot.com. They have a YouTube account too, so you can look them up just straight on YouTube. But we try to blog and do videos 2 to 3 days a week for the project. And we're doing our best to make those simple and easy for people to take those skills and practice them. And instead of just listening to me and watching me or whatever, I want people to watch what we do and then go practice those skills.
Yeah, and that's really the key right there. I tell my readers on survivalandbeyond.net and also on this show that it's not enough to just buy a book and put it on your shelf and think that you're going to refer to it when an emergency happens, or watch a ton of videos. You know, you see a lot of people out there. I've actually heard of people out there who, you know, they've watched every episode of Man vs. Wild, and then they strike out into the wilderness thinking that I'm fully trained. That is not training. Watching YouTube videos is not training. Going out and getting the information from the YouTube videos, that's learning. Going out and doing it, that is training.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you've got something in your kit that requires an instruction book, you might as well leave it out. Because when you need that skill set, you're not going to have it if you have to try to figure out the instructions in a stressful situation. So, you know, that's what, if you watch our videos, that's what we try to emphasize over and over and over again. Matter of fact, it probably gets a little old that I tell people, you need to practice these skills. So it's of absolute importance that you do that.
Absolutely. And Dan, you talk about ways to be prepared that do not necessarily have to do with supplies or equipment, since Craig brought that up, you know, about having the equipment where you get instructions and you're not familiar with it. What are you talking about when you talk about ways to be prepared without that doesn't have to do with supplies?
Many survival instructors will tell you that even up to 90% of survival is between your ears. It's confidence. It's, like he was saying, a skill set. But preparedness really is an attitude. And something I've noticed is that the people that are interested in survival usually are also interested in martial arts, and they're also interested in personal protection, whether that's a firearm or martial art or whatever. And they're usually also interested in say gold or basic resources or I guess you could say resources that are worth something despite what our dollar does or doesn't do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And getting back to Craig, trying to tie all this together, and so it's a cohesive thought for our listeners, that you talk a lot about family preparedness, and this is a topic that is not really covered a whole lot. I mean, you know, a lot of survival literature and everything that you see out there is more about, you know, individual preparedness and what, you know, one person needs. And what are your thoughts or your suggestions on family preparedness?
Well, unless you are an individual who lives on their own, then you need to be prepping your family as well. And because it seems like it's a male-dominated culture, the survival culture, survival mindset, and I'm not saying there's not ladies out there. I know there are, and we love having them in our classes. But you've got to, even if your family is not interested in the topic, you've got to come up with a way to educate them. One of the best ways, particularly with children, is to start them as early as possible. You know, and that means just teaching them how to have fun in the wilderness, and particularly learning how to deal with adversity. One of the things that we did, my wife and I did, is that we spent 1 year right after we had kids and they were small, and we were carrying my son still on our back in backpacks, was that we dedicated 1 year of our life to go out every weekend, no matter what the weather was. And so we helped the kids learn how to deal with cold weather. You know, if it's raining, we got to deal with the rain. If it's hot, we got to deal with the hot. And so they grew up learning how to deal with what most people would call adversity. These kids learned how to that was just their daily life. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as far as, you know, their special needs, like particularly my daughter's a diabetic, so I've got to consider her, you know, she's a type 1 diabetic, so she's insulin dependent. It's one of those things that you've got to have a plan together for those that are in your family, whether they're, you know, a type 1 insulin dependent diabetic, or if they're just someone who doesn't like the outdoors, unless you want to walk away from them, which I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in walking away from my family. I love them dearly. And I gather a lot of these guys and gals that do solo adventure and survival training because, you know, it's their thing and it's not their family's thing. Those folks have to figure out how to at least mildly get their family involved as often as they can, or when these events happen, they're going to be in trouble because they're going to be dealing with the stress of their family and not being able to even take care of their own needs.
Do you have any advice for parents in terms of getting your kids excited or getting them interested and getting them away from the video games and really getting them involved, not just involved, not forcing them to, you know, by dragging them out into the woods, you know, every week or every month or whatever, but you know, actually get them engaged.
Well, you can't. It's like someone that is addicted to anything. And if that child is addicted to video games and you remove them from that video game and try to cut them off cold turkey, they're going to buck it. They're not going to like it. So, I mean, for example, you've just got to bring children. And it, for example, my wife, when we first started dating, she had not spent hardly any time outdoors. And now she's our edible plants and medicinal plants instructor for our school. You've got to bring them in slowly. For example, when I first started teaching my son how to hunt, you know, he likes video games. He had his little carry video game. I took it with us to the woods. And I know it sounds crazy, but eventually what happened was because I had an interest in teaching him, slowly but surely showed him that there's more to see and more fun to have in the woods than there is on that video game. And so, you know, he's sitting there under a tree and in a blind playing a video game controller. And slowly but surely, he sees that watching for deer is a lot more fun. And you just got to take your time. I mean, when we first started taking my daughter out, you know, I would take a backpack full of stuffed animals and tea sets and, you know, all the kind of kitty things that she liked to play with. And we play those things in the woods as a means of slowly bringing her into a comfortable position with being in the woods. Because, you know, if she liked her Blue's Clues doll, and stuffed animal, then she'd play with him whether we're at the house or in the woods. And so we just brought her in slowly. If you try to force it, it's not going to happen. You know, and I tried to do that with my, you know, and again, most people or a lot of people might say, well, my kids are grown, I can't do that now. Well, my wife was 20 years old when we, you know, nearly 20 years old when she first started going out with me. And it just took, you know, it's not like I forced her to go out and jump in a river and do survival training on the, you know, or on a date. I just didn't. You know, I took a pack that was full of so much stuff and did a lot of car camping and things to make it very comfortable for her. And because you can't expect people to go from a lifestyle where they've never been outside to sleeping on the ground in the leaves and enjoy it. It's impossible. You can't do that. And so you just make them as comfortable as they can, and slowly but surely you get to the point where you take things away until, you know, sleep on the ground is not such a bad idea.
Yeah, I think the outdoor element and the or even just the camping element has been the number one point of failure in most of my relationships. Yeah. Women who's, oh, I don't want to sleep on the ground. Oh, there's bugs. Well, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, I understand that, and if you know, I was brought up doing those things. You know, my dad would take me out and we would spend weekends. And, I mean, we'd walk out the door with nothing more than a blanket or something like that and stay out for, you know, a night or two or whatever. So, I mean, I grew up and understand it. But my wife didn't. She grew up not doing anything like that at all. And so our first few trips literally was, you know, for a weekend maybe, was going to a campground that had hot showers. That where I set up beds where there was, you know, it was very comfortable. I cooked all the food. I made sure it tasted good. And so that, you know, eventually, you know, it wasn't such a big thing to be out there. She enjoyed being out there.
Right. Well, that sounds like a good way of going about it. Now, you mentioned your daughter who has your daughter who's diabetic, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of our listeners, I think this is the number one question when it comes to preparedness, especially when it comes to, like, you know, say a grid crash or a Teotihuacan incident where these pharmaceuticals and medications that people are reliant on are just simply no longer going to be available. And what is your plan with your daughter?
Well, that is as tough a question for me as it is for anyone. You know, we do what we can to make sure that we have at least some insulin on reserve. In a situation where, you know, if particularly, obviously, this is going to be a short-term situation, but, you know, we're also doing our best to understand as best we can the things that work in nature to help, particularly in our case, help raise and lower blood sugars whenever she might need it. So there are things out there. We monitor her diet highly, and we know what works and what doesn't work to elevate and help. To elevate her blood sugar when it needs to come up and bring it down when it needs to come down. And so, you know, we do a pretty good job, and my daughter is the one that does most of the work. She's the one that monitors herself such that she knows how to work her diet to not use any more insulin than she has to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at least in the short term, we'll have some in reserve. And, you know, I mean, quite frankly, it's just a matter of faith for us as well that, you know, we will be able to find some and work around being able to deal with it in a short term so that we can come up with a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's lots of options in nature. I don't know if you've ever heard of Sergei Butenko.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have? Okay, great. Yeah, he actually reversed, or he eliminated his juvenile diabetes with a raw greens diet, or, you know, I think it was that he went on a raw food diet at first, and he's a big proponent of greens, and, you know, the stuff that most of us call weeds, you know, and he actually eliminated his diabetes, and I thought that was an amazing story, and I mentioned it a lot on the show.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a particular case, and maybe that, you know, what I found out through this process is that, you know, you can't, for those of us who don't have diabetes, we want to clump all those people together and say they've got the same thing,
right.
And they do. They do. But every individual is different. Like, my daughter is going to be different from that individual and this individual over here. And so each person has to find out what works and does not work for them. And, you know, being insulin dependent doesn't mean that you have to stay insulin dependent if you can work it that way. But some people's bodies won't allow that to happen. And, you know, for example, my daughter was without insulin for quite a long time, even after becoming insulin dependent. However, her body eventually got to the point where it needed it again. So, I mean, it's just one of those things you need to monitor and keep up with it and, you know, just not ignore it and assume that you're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. There is a tendency in to kind of lump it all together, and people don't realize that there are subtle differences.
No, it's good stuff, and it's a remarkable situation.
Right.
And, you know, and again, my daughter's done the same thing for a period of time. However, mm-hmm. her body just went differently. And, you know, but the reason she was able to do that at the time was she started monitoring her diet, and she does that now. And, again, she takes very little insulin. So, it doesn't matter what kind of medication it is. You can find, you can find methods through diet, exercise, to not necessarily eliminate her condition, but at least to alleviate some of the intensity of it, I guess.
Now, Dan, to switch tracks a little bit here, want to keep you in the conversation. What kind of, in your opinion, what kind of supplies and equipment should people look for their basic survival needs?
Okay, your basic survival needs are going to depend a little bit on your climate or your environment, I guess. Here in Kentucky, we don't really get a whole lot of cold weather, so we wouldn't need, like, expedition weight sleeping bags or that sort of thing. But Craig's saying, you got to each individual needs to find out what works for them. But my opinion about supplies and equipment is to figure out what you need, what your climate demands, what your purpose is, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish, and then figure out what'll work and kind of fill in the blank right there. For instance, I favor a Mora knife or a Scandinavian style knife, and specifically the Mora because it's ugly as heck, but it's mm-hmm. durable. And it's got really good steel. But again, it's like, what, $15?
Yeah, it's very affordable.
But my idea, my philosophy, I guess you'd say, is to figure out what works and then kind of fill in that blank with what you could find locally or easily, I should say.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of, and I mentioned this a lot as well to my readers and listeners, is found objects, yard sales, garage sales. You can find
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff that you can use for either, you know, that's already a tool or a piece of equipment that's meant for camping or survival, or you can find objects that you can repurpose with just the minimal amount of re-engineering, and I'm a big fan of that. I definitely subscribe to the MacGyver principle when it comes to that. And I take great pride in looking when I go to a store, even if I'm at a dollar store or something like that, you know, I try to look at objects in a different way and figure out, you know, what other purposes they can be used for.
Right. How you can misuse it to your advantage.
Exactly right. Now, you one of the things that you mentioned is about details and how details make the difference. And I was wondering if you could maybe expound on that philosophy a little bit.
Okay. One of the details that I look for in, say, cooking equipment, I avoid aluminum and go with stainless steel. And I guess it kind of harkens back to the old, I don't know if it's an urban myth or urban legend about aluminum having an effect with Alzheimer's. And I couldn't say yes or no on that. But what I do know is that stainless steel doesn't support, what is it, microbe growth?
Right.
Basically, things can't live on it. It doesn't support growth. Again, the Mora knife. Mora knives, I say that because it's an easy example. They use a high-carbon steel in the blade, and high-carbon steel typically is better for, say, processing meat or something like that. And another advantage is that you can sharpen it easier.
Right.
Now, again, personal preference, I understand that. But something that I absolutely despise is when I am on a website looking for, say, surplus military gear, and you see military style fill in the blank, and they've got that little word style in there, and that detail tells me that most likely it was made out of inferior product, inferior material, and it's engineered poorly because it just has a stigma of cheapness to it.
Yeah, there's a big difference between military style and military grade.
Right.
And I would also add to that, I tell people that avoid anything made of metal that was made in China. And that's
yes.
simply because not for the reasons that most people think. I mean, when you hear made in China, you automatically think it's cheap crap. But the thing about, especially in terms of metallurgy, the Chinese, and I've been told this by numerous blacksmiths, the Chinese just don't have the metallurgical knowledge, and what they end up manufacturing is going to break because they just simply don't either they don't have the knowledge or they just simply do not take the steps they require to temper the steel properly and to give it the tensile strength that it needs and everything. So yeah, anything made of metal, and if it's from China, I avoid it like the plague.
Yes, perfect example of that is the thousands of cheap pocket knives that I've seen mm-hmm. made from, quote, stainless steel from China. And number one, they're hard to sharpen, and number two, they will not hold an edge.
Right.
And to me, it's pointless to import, quite frankly, other than for profit. But that explains a lot of things, too. Like my dad used to say, if it doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it.
That's a good expression. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, details. Details make a whole lot of difference.
Right, absolutely. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your site, Dan's Depot, and where our listeners can find it and what they will find there.
Okay. Dan's Depot, obviously on the Internet, at dansdepot.com. And our opening page will have kind of a rundown of the latest blog posts, and it'll show some of the videos that Craig has put up. And this is something I have noticed. If you go to that person's profile, the person that wrote the blog, it'll have a list of blogs underneath their name. And I've noticed that some people see the video on the front page and they never get around to that. But you'll also see three topics, survival food, survival equipment, and survival training. And it's a breakdown of the services that we offer.
And Craig, while we're at it, why don't you tell our listeners about Nature Reliance School.
Oh, cool. Well, Nature Reliance School, we founded a few years ago, around 2005, 2006. I went and attended some training with a well-known survival instructor. And, you know, I had never done anything like that before. And I was really interested in learning some some stuff, and I did. I did learn some things. But what I discovered was everything that they were teaching at survival, I had been doing all my life for fun. And so that's when we founded the school, because I just didn't – at the time, I wasn't real proficient in internet savviness, and I don't watch TV. And so I didn't know all this stuff was going on around outside of, you know, me going to the woods and banging stuff out. Mm-hmm. So we started the school to try to help people get into the woods, make them feel comfortable about being out there. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew until, you know, we have what we have today, which is Nature Reliance School. And, you know, we teach basic survival classes and land navigation, edible medicinal plants, and scout classes, tactical concealment, those type of things. And then, obviously, we teach those that continue training the advanced level of those classes as well. You know, our main goal is to try to bridge the gap between, you know, what most people call primitive skills and modern technology. Because a lot of the guys that I've trained with tend to be on one side or the other. And, right. You know, we wanted to, as we've said earlier in the interview, we wanted to help teach people how to get their families out. Because this survival stuff, it tends to be a one-man show most of the time. You know, when people actually need it, it's going to be more than a one-man show. You know, it's proven even the mountain men in our American history had an incredibly rough time surviving on their own. Mm-hmm. And so they needed the tribe. They needed groups. And so, you know, that mindset is what we want to do, is help individuals get out and particularly help people start helping their families so that their families can be more prepared as well.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an issue that's really an important one with me. One thing that I try to dispel is the whole lone wolf syndrome myth. You know, you run into a lot of people who think that, I'm just going to head out into the woods and live off the land myself. And community is incredibly important. And like you mentioned, even the pioneers and the trappers, you know, back in the 18th, 19th century, you know, they were not 100% solely self-sufficient. They had to go into town and get supplies. They required you need the help of others. And if you're of a type where you're misanthropic or whatever, you're going to have to get over it, my friend, because you're going to need other people in a survival situation.
Yeah, I mean, there was back in those days, there was a reason they had annual rendezvous.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, my in-laws just moved back from Alaska and back to the lower 48, and they talked often about there were people that lived off the land up there and they live, you know, way out and away from human contact on it. But they would still come in 2-3 times a year to, you know, Sam's Club, for example, and stock up on basic supplies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because, you know, I think about it all the time. I've made acorn flour and stuff of that nature, and how much effort it takes to make, you know, a one patty of a acorn flour cake. You know, you're going to have a group of people to work with if it's going to be anything long term. And, you know, I am 100% against this mindset of lone wolf, just like you are, Ed. I mean, it's this idea of going out and making it on your own. It's just not going to happen. You can't do it.
No,
I mean, I shouldn't say you can't do it. It can be done. It has been done. It's just going to take a rare individual. It's not going to take the person who has a regular job that doesn't do stuff on a daily basis to go out and make it on their own.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it's going to be tough.
And yeah, and I think even those with extensive training, but then, you know, on the other hand, those with extensive training have the experience and they know better. They know better that, right. You know, that how they know how difficult it's going to be.
And I've taken the time to, because I love Kentucky history. That's where I've been born and raised and lived all my life. So, you know, I've taken the time to read the papers and journals and of the gentlemen that were, you know, what we would call frontiersmen. And, you know, some of these guys that people know well, like Daniel Boone, Simon Kenton, and these guys that went out on their own for quite a while, we know of those guys, but there's dozens others that you can hear them writing about in their journals that they don't know where they are. They don't know what happened to them. They went out and didn't make it. And, you know, they might find some bones somewhere up in a beech tree somewhere, or, you know, they fell in a river or died or got killed or any number of, or, you know, fell ill and mm-hmm. just couldn't make it. I mean, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of those guys that just didn't make it. And it it's those extraordinary few, like Boone and Kenton and Gertie and these guys, that did make it that we want to be like. But the fact of the matter is, they are the they are not the majority,
right?
For certain, they were very well practiced and incredible individuals to be able to do what they did.
Right, and it doesn't really take much to take a man down out in the wilderness. I mean, a simple wound or a cut, or if you break your arm or a single misstep or whatever, you know, an injury that would be easily dealt with if you were back at home, or easily dealt with if you had other people with you, could be lethal in a lone survival situation. You get, you know, the risk of infections and, you know, your lack of mobility and whatnot. I mean, you could be cooked very easily.
Absolutely. It's really interesting, and I don't want to give any of our trade secrets away unless people just want to hear about them. But, you know, when we teach our wilderness survival classes, there's something that we do on Sundays where we thrust people as close as we can into a survival situation. And often what we'll do is we'll go around and say, hey, you just broke your arm, and we'll tie their arm down. Mm. And so that person has to then do all the things that we've taught them to do all weekend long with a broken arm, or they might be blinded, or they might lose all their gear. And these kind of things, I've seen a lot of people. I mean, it's sad, really. I've seen people that have just sit down and go, I don't know what to do now. And that's why we do it the way we do, because, you know, I want people to think about it then and start to work through those problems, like a broken arm or they've been blinded, so that they can continue to survive. Because those things will take a good person down, let alone, and I'm talking, what I mean by a good person is someone who lives in the outdoors and works on these skills daily. That kind of stuff will take that kind of person down, let alone somebody that has, you know, like the rest of us that have regular jobs and aren't used to that type of hardship.
Absolutely. Now, Dan, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about, and you stress the importance of what's called a BC detector. Why don't you tell our listeners what exactly is a BC detector and why is it so important?
Okay. A BC detector is a semi-polite way of saying a bullcrap detector. And it's the little light that should go off in the back of your head when somebody tells you something that is too good to be true. For instance, one of many, many, quote, 72-hour survival kits that I've seen online. And they look kind of cheesy, and you get into it more, and if you know something about actual survival, you look at this kit, and you go, good grief, they can sell this with a clear conscience? How? Mm-hmm. And how can you sell that to somebody and then feel good about yourself, so to speak? But anyway, a BC detector, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
I think you get the idea.
Oh, sure. And it's true. Without naming any names, you see it a lot. Where I notice it most is with food storage kits, you know, like, oh, 1 year of food storage for only $49.99, It's like, yeah, well, you can call it a year if you only eat, like, you know, 100 calories a day. Or if it's something that nobody would want to eat in the first place.
Yeah.
And also in medical kits, and I stress this because I think it's very dangerous for people to think that they're buying this medical kit that's all-inclusive. It's got everything that they'll ever possibly need for any kind of situation that they'll encounter or any type of injury. And a lot of these kits are not much better than, you know, your first aid kit that you see at, you know, the workplace. You know, some bandages, some gauze, some tape, and some Neosporin, and that's about it. And you really have to be careful. I'm a proponent of building your own medical kit, buying the items individually, doing your research, and doing it that way, putting it together. And oftentimes you can do it cheaper that way, but you'll also have the peace of mind of knowing that you'll be a lot better equipped than buying this super duper fantastic all in one everything you'll ever need medical kit.
And it fits on your belt.
Yeah, and it fits on your belt.
Grief.
We've got a few minutes left, and Craig, I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about your defensive tactics and what exactly it is that you teach and how that relates to survival and preparedness.
Well, you know, I teach martial arts, judo and aikido, and those are fantastic activities. They've enriched my life in a number of ways. When it comes down to basic self-defense and survival, you need to have some sort of gross motor skills training. What I mean by that is, you know, most martial arts, like the ones that I teach, are fine motor skills, and it takes quite a long time to be proficient in being able to defend yourself with those type of movements. Gross motor skills are basically learning how to defend yourself from large mechanical injury, like getting kicked in the knee or getting hit in the head, and defending yourself appropriately. This also includes, tactical gunfight training. Gunfighting, one of the guys that I've trained with talks about gunfighting being the one true martial art that comes from America. And I would agree with that mindset. And it's something that, like any skill, you need to practice as much as you can. And gross motor skills are skills that are basically already inherently part of you and me. And so you want to just continue to grow on those type of things that are already built into you so that you know how to defend yourself rather than banking on some fine motor skill dependency like, you know, a small wrist lock or something, which, again, I like and I do, but it takes a long time to be able to be proficient in that type of training. We do both. And the reason we do both is that, you know, again, the martial arts taught me how to be confident and not fight. And to people that are not used to that environment, it's kind of hard to explain. But, you know, I used to fight a lot growing up. I got in a lot of fights. And martial arts taught me how to have the confidence, not have to physically bring harm to another individual to bring about what I thought was right. And so, you know, I like martial arts for that aspect. And at the same time, you know, these gross motor skills, like in defensive tactics or combatives or, you know, there's a million names for them, you know, are things that are just, you know, what I call quick and dirty. I mean, you don't want to spend a lot of time or a lot of effort exerting yourself in a situation because, quite frankly, you don't have that much time and before you're going to run out of energy. And so you need to be able to defend yourself without, you know, a lot of fine motor skills, because if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you got sweat in your eyes, you got blood on your hands and your face or something of that nature, you know, a lot of times those things aren't going to work.
I have a friend who's a fantastic self-defense instructor, and he's got a line that I love. He says, if you have to hit somebody 10 times, if you have to hit an attacker 10 times to stop him, you've hit him 9 times too many.
Oh yeah, the founder of one of the arts that I practice, judo, said it like this. He said, "You want to have maximum efficiency with minimal effort," and that's absolutely what you want to do in that situation too. And this is one of the things that drew me to survival, teaching people how to survive, is it's the same thing. You want to maintain as many calories in your body without expending any more than you have to. So you just want to be have a maximum efficiency with minimal effort. And it's good for survival training. It's good for martial arts and defensive tactics. It's good for, you know, relationships. It's a good adage for a lot of things.
Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time right now, but I'd like to thank you guys for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and experience with our listeners.
Hey, thank you, Ed. Fantastic. This is fun. I appreciate it.
Okay, and we've just been talking to Dan Bacon from dansdepot.com and Craig Cottle of Nature Reliance School at naturereliancechool.com. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jim Statch of Freedom Fighter Radio. So just hang tight. We'll be right back.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Okay, and we're back, and our next guest is he's the host of Freedom Fighters Radio, and as well, he also runs freedomfightersradio.net, where he reports on all the covert and not so covert assaults on our rights, our liberties, and our freedoms, and waking up the sheeple, just like the rest of us are doing out here, what we're trying to do. He's going to be talking about an issue that I talk about a lot. I've been reporting on this for as long as I've been doing a radio show, and that is the UN's agenda to deprive us of our personal property rights, our constitutional rights, to depopulate the planet, otherwise known as Agenda 21. And it's great to have him on the show, another freedom fighter out there waking up the sheeple. So without any further delay, let me welcome Jim Stach to the show. How you doing, Jim?
All right. And instead of, just so people don't get confused, it's freedomfighterradio.net or .com. Doing great here in beautiful Augusta, Georgia.
Right on. Well, tell us about you've been digging up some stuff about Agenda 21 and all the unlikely groups that are funding or are part of this agenda, and first of all, for our listeners who may not be aware, Agenda 21 it goes under the guise of sustainable development. And if you've been following cap and trade, as I have for the last few years, it's been something that's been killed in the in Congress every time it's come up, but now it's passed the House of Representatives. This is a plan that, by Obama's own admission, this is his brainchild. When he was a senator, he said this is a plan that will necessarily make energy costs skyrocket. And this is all about the fake global warming, the bogus. We reported about this on survivalandbeyond.net on the website, about the whole global warming and climate change hoax. And they're moving forward. It's past the House, and this is something that a lot of people, when I mention it, Jim, They don't seem too concerned about it. This is the globalist agenda, and people think that the UN is just some kind of lumbering bureaucracy, that it's ineffectual, it can't get anything done. And in fact, what it's doing is it's reaching its tentacles into the United States through our legislation, through non-government organizations like ICLEI, through sustainable development, and through a lot of other groups as well. So why don't you, I've talked long enough, why don't I let you tell our listeners about what you've been following and what you've been bringing and making people aware of out there.
Sure. Well, to begin with, and I'll go back, we've got to start, how did it get really started? And really, is we're losing our freedom because it's by intimidation. We're voluntarily handing over our sovereignty. What people first need to look at is the ICLEI, which stands for the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Sustainability is what I call a New World Order buzzword. And for those people that may not be aware, we hear the word socialist thrown around. Well, actually, sustainable development, a.k.a. Agenda 21, actually was introduced by Gro Harlem Brundtland. He was the VP of the World Socialist Party, and it was first offered as official UN policy back in 1992 in a document called UN Sustainable Development Agenda 21, issued at the UN's Earth Summit, which then referred to it simply as Agenda 21.
Right.
And what's really interesting, you know, lately we've heard, even in recent days, this week, Pelosi advocating the embracement of Agenda 21. You know, we point at the Democrats, and believe me, I'm no fan of Obama, but what really is interesting, the Democrats are openly embracing the UN and sustainability Agenda 21, but I'm here to tell you that the Republicans and the conservative movement is doing it more secretly and covertly. And I'm going to, we got a blog, you've seen them a blog, you've read it, well, you know, we've talked in the last few days. What's right. really interesting is that the, a group called, well, before I even mention a group, we hear the term controlled opposition. Okay, controlled opposition, COINTELPRO. Well, we're so used to fighting the enemy on the opposite end of the battlefield. Well, the way controlled opposition works is they find an issue or a something for the people to rally on that they can get 51% or more of the people to rally behind, and then they can bring it, then they can take the money that they're getting from their own enemies to promote other agendas. With that being said, Numbers USA, you know, we've all become familiar with Numbers USA. Anti-illegal immigration, which I support securing the borders. But I'm here to tell you that what good is it to secure our borders, to stop Sharia law, to, you know, to only allow our country to be morphed into a modern-day version of Nazi Germany on a global scale? Numbers USA, people are going to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm here to tell you that the very week or the week before the cap and trade vote was taken in the House a few years ago, Numbers USA had at that time a listing of the Board of Advisors. And on that Board of Advisors read like a who's who, which you've now seen, of socialists. I have that link from a screen capture that was taken. And I'm here to tell you, many of these conservative sites, to include, and I'm saying it, Ali Pack, William Dean, Steve Elliott of Grassmire, the DNC and the RNC are fully aware of the employment blog, what I'm telling you tonight, but they're afraid to speak out against Numbers USA, which I'm here to tell you is operating as a front group for Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, and how I can say that is what's really important, and that's a very hard claim, but if you look at For instance, let me just name two groups, and then I get you, you want to think about it. I would like to get your comment, because you've seen the blog I got. Mm-hmm. Two groups listed on Numbers USA Board of Advisors are that really should be quite shocking. It's Earth First and the Sierra Club. Well, in the blog, I got the graphic posted from Earth First's own website that says Earth First with a green fist. We've all become familiar with the fist, the Occupy movement, the communist Occupy movement's doing, the socialist, no compromise in the defense of Mother Earth. You do your research, Earth First has been connected to ELF and ALF, the Earth Liberation Front, mm-hmm. which has committed terroristic acts on this country, And Roy Beck openly supports sustainability. He recently was even participated in an Earth First and had a table set up on this with them on Earth Day, which, by the way, was founded by Gaylord Nelson, who also sits on the Board of Advisors for Numbers USA, and they choose to celebrate Earth Day on Lenin's birthday, one of the founders of communism.
April 22nd, yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of shady stuff in Roy Beck's background as well. I mean, the whole thing with his association with John Tanton, the white supremacist, eugenicist, whom he disavows that, you know, this guy was his mentor, and he was his boss for 10 years. He worked for, the social contract, and, under congressional investigation, Roy Beck, he didn't deny, he just passed it off as like, oh, he was an acquaintance of mine, I think I've had dinner with him a couple of times, when in fact that, you know, this guy was his mentor, white supremacist, separatist, eugenicist, well known for his statements against Hispanics, and, you know, and I want to make one thing clear to our listeners, you know, just because you're anti-immigration does not mean that you're a racist, you know? Like, I don't want to see hordes of Mexicans and the drug cartels coming over the border. If it were Canada, if it were a bunch of beer-drinking, back-bacon-eating Canadians, lily-white guys who are, you know, pouring over the border, taking our jobs and everything, I'd be like, no, keep the Canadians out. It doesn't have anything to do with race. Right. Well, this guy is well-known bedfellows with white supremacists and all this, and this doesn't really have anything to do, but he has a history of covering his tracks and covering up his past associations and covering up all the secret dealings that he doesn't want anybody to know about. So it really comes as no surprise to me that he's involved with Agenda 21 and sustainable development.
Well, they haven't done too good a job in covering up the tracks, because I grabbed a screen capture of Numbers USA's Board of Advisors, and, you know, everybody in the freedom movement that's opposed to the New World Order and global government is familiar with some of the terms like eugenics, zero population growth. Mm-hmm. Sitting where I'm talking to you right now, 60 miles from me, is the Georgia Guidestones, which calls for a reduction of 6.5 billion people on this planet to a sustainable number of 500 million. I've personally been to the Guidestones multiple times, have done some videos there. But here's the thing. Planned Parenthood, and I forgot to also mention another group, FAIR, Federation of Immigration Reform, which also got its start from John Tanton, who's connected to the killing of unborn children, i.e. Mm-hmm. abortion. Planned Parenthood, okay, which abortion in this country was designed as a racist program to reduce the black population. You can watch the video that JPFO's even put out, Myopa 21. Great video to inform you on that. It is a racist program to destroy this nation, Planned Parenthood, and when you have people out there openly promoting sustainability, people like Forrest H. Woolridge, known to the patriot community as Frosty Woolridge, why in the world did the Republican debates, why did conservative networks like Fox run ads or allowed ads for Numbers USA during the early Republican debates? People, if you remember back then, Numbers USA ran multiple ads during the early Republican debates, which are openly, The Republican Party, I'm going to tell you, leadership is fully aware of the eugenic, zero population, globalist goals of Numbers USA, but this clearly proves one thing. Both parties are a sham. Mm-hmm. And it clearly is more evidence that the two parties are part of the same beast, the left wing and the right wing. They're attached to the same beast. It's a two-headed snake that we are fighting as freedom fighters.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's something. Another thing that I try to get through to people, you know, you go out and you listen to the public discussion of issues, and it just boggles my brain cells that there are people still out there just throwing mud at each other based on party. And they're doing this on purpose. This is part of their plan. Their plan is to divide and conquer. You make the population, you know, turn against each other based on meaningless party ideologies, and you get them too busy fighting with each other that they don't pay attention to what's really going on. And actually, the two sides are working together to basically shred the Constitution, deprive us all of our sovereignty.
Right, and I do want to let people know on the blog, or if they're listening to your archive or listening live, if you want to go directly to the Numbers USA Board of Advisors and look at the names, it's freedomfighterradio.net/advisors, the number two dot html. You know, the bottom line is we have got to destroy these front groups, these controlled opposition groups. You know, I hear so many people speaking out against Agenda 21. That's great. But those of you that are listening tonight, you now have and are tasked with and are morally obligated to at least go to my blog, at least see the links. I'm not just throwing my opinion up there.
Right.
I have the links provided, okay? I have the screen captures provided, and we cannot embrace those that are working against our sovereignty. There's no doubt that the Sierra Club and Earth Day that was founded by a former U.S. senator who sits on the board of advisors who held the first Earth Day in April 22nd, 1970, these tree-hugging wackos, as I call them.
Yeah.
And here's another one. You've heard Tom Tancredo, Lamar Alexander. They all are listed as authors on another website called, and I have a link to it online, Minnesotans for Sustainability. But yet, it's very interesting that Tom Tancredo speaks out against Agenda 21, but yet he openly and publicly supports Roy Beck and Numbers USA. The bottom line is, Tom Tancredo speaking from both sides of his mouth. He mm-hmm. speaks with a forked tongue, as the Indian Native Americans say.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like after a while, you don't know anymore, you know, who's putting their hands in whose pockets and who's associated or who's affiliated with whatever. And basically, you know, it's what it comes down to. And the reason why I wanted to have you on my show is because you get the facts, man, right to the source where everything is coming from, what all the shady deals that are going on. And to anybody who's listening, I highly recommend you go and check out his site. Now that list of the board of directors that you have on there. Now, this was a screen capture, if I'm correct, that was subsequently taken down.
Right. It's basically what they were doing is they were trying to sanitize the net, sanitize it, you know. I want your listeners to answer these questions. Are you opposed to cap and trade? Are you pro-life? Do you support the Second Amendment? Do you oppose those that are promoting a global warming lie? Do you oppose the Real ID Act, which is, by the way, designed by the DHS? And do you oppose the NWO plan of depopulation? If you do, then you must oppose Numbers USA and all of the organizations that support Numbers USA. Why? Because of the people listed on their board of advisors who are socialists that are supporting anti-freedom agendas. And
right.
I challenge anyone to include Numbers USA, to include Frosty Woolridge, which, by the way, I'll say on your show, I challenged him, I challenged Roy Beck to debate me any time on this, and to include Alex Jones, which, by the way, Alex Jones in InfoWars has openly embraced Roy Beck and Numbers USA for years, and there's no way Alex Jones and his so-called team of InfoWarrior researchers are unaware of what I'm saying tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things is I wouldn't get too vitriolic about the people who do support Numbers USA because, you know, people who do want immigration reform, you know, that seems like a justifiable cause.
Let me interrupt you right there. Let me go on a record and say this. Many of you that may be up to now supporting Numbers USA, there's a lot of good men and women that are not aware of what you're hearing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're not aware of it, okay? And there's a lot of good people in there, just like there's a lot of good, believe it or not, there were a lot of good government agents in Homeland Security, as bad as it is. Why? Because if there wasn't, we would have never found out about Fast and Furious. So
yes,
there are good people in there. But once you hear the information, once you become aware of it, right, then you're responsible for what you do with it. And I say if anyone is finding out for the first time tonight about all this information, and anybody can email at any time, contact@freedomfighterradio.com. I'll be glad to talk with them on the phone and fit it into my schedule. I do it all the time. But we have got to cut the funding off of Numbers USA, FAIR, Fire Coalition, Alipac, and these groups until they're willing to denounce Numbers USA and separate themselves from Numbers USA, because here's the thing. Numbers USA collects millions of dollars. And I'm here to tell you right now, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, this week or next week, I will be filing a FOIA request with the United States government on their financial donations and following the money trail, where their money comes from. And there's nothing they can do to prevent that constitutionally. Okay, of course, we know the government's not operating constitutionally, but I'm going to attempt to exercise my constitutional right and obtain the donor list of Numbers USA and various other organizations as well, and we'll see what else we can dig up about this.
Yeah, that's a great idea, even if you get a heavily redacted report, which is more than likely the case with Freedom of Information Act requests. Please let me know what the results of that are and what kind of information you get from that.
Absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is you've got to follow the money trail. It's all about money.
Exactly.
And it's all about power, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we as people, I'm going to tell you, I refuse to get on my knees before a global government. I will not submit to these environmental initiatives that they're trying to impose on us. They're trying to restrict our access to land in America with these world zones. I mean, some of our national parks are under the control of the UN, which people are unaware of. This is totally unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
This is unacceptable to a free and sovereign people, and that's what we are supposed to be. It's about time we stand up for and speak out, because if we remain silent, then in the face of evil, that is a crime, as Thomas Mann said.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all it takes for tyranny to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And when it comes down to the whole globalist agenda, I mean, for those of you who might think, and I'm sure none of my listeners do, I'm sure my listeners are all wide awake, but for those who do think that, yo, this is a big conspiracy theory about the United Nations Agenda 21, I'll have to remind you that Franklin Delano Roosevelt himself proclaimed at the formation of the United Nations that it was intended to be a global governing body right from the outset. No secret was made of it. Okay?
Right.
This has always been their plan. This has always been their agenda. It's about power. It's about control. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the UN website and check out the Agenda 21 literature that's publicly free for the asking. You can go and download it and read it online yourself. It'll make your hair curl, all right? And you read this and you think, oh, they're just talking about third world nations? No, they're not. They're talking about us. And since the way they get in, and it's not overtly, you'll never see the United Nations come in and start dictating to the United States openly what our policies and what our laws and how we should change things. What they do is they do it perniciously through our legislation. Last year, Obama signed the Rural Council Act, which basically means that the federal government has the authority to go into rural areas and take over and block us from using the rural using natural resources. They want to go in and tell farms. They want to tell small family farms, people have been running their farms for generations, that the government knows better how to manage the land than they do, kick them off their property and hand it over to Monsanto and the big agro monster that's already destroying our environment. You talk about destroying the environment, genetically modified organisms are already doing that.
Absolutely. Even though you bring up Obama, I'm going to bring up Romney because, again, two-headed snake. Mm-hmm. Recently, Romney's he's come out at the RNC. I tried to watch it after injecting myself with a bunch of anti-acid pills because it made me about to puke. How the UN has outlived its usefulness. Very true statements, but I'm here to tell you it is trying to pander to people like you, me, and your informed listenership. But even your listeners, even as well as informed, I seriously doubt many of them are aware of the numbers USA. We want to strike a blow at Agenda 21, take the blog I have with the links, make it go viral, send it to your senator, send it to your congressman, send it to the local media, send it to everybody on your list, make this go viral. I'll take the heat. I've already been threatened with a lawsuit from Numbers USA for what I'm saying tonight and what's on my blog. I tell them, bring it on, because the truth will always win in the end. The light will overpower the darkness, because the goal of the New World Order is to separate man from God, and that's why Agenda 21 is anti-God, promoting the worship of Gaia, the spirit of the earth. And here's the thing, check this out. The UN has stated that the concept of national sovereignty has been immutable, indeed a sacred principle of international relations. It is a principle which will yield only slowly and reluctantly to the new imperatives of the global environmental cooperation. That was an excerpt from the report from the UN Commission on Global Governance. So yes, the goal is to slowly, stealthily, incrementally acclimate us so that we become global-minded instead of dedicated to the sovereignty of these United States.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And I want to continue that thought, but right now we got to take a quick break. And we're here with Jim Stach from Freedom Fighters Radio. And Freedom Fighter Radio. And hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Preparing yourself for an emergency doesn't have to be all about doom and gloom. Getting all worked up about an impending disaster isn't going to better prepare you. It's just going to stress you out. Here at survival-gear.com, we believe your main goal when putting together a survival kit is to not just have the critical items you need in order to stay alive, but the right supplies in sufficient quantity to shield you from the effects of an extended unfortunate event. I like to say that if you have to use your survival kit, it should seem more like an impromptu camping trip rather than a dire emergency. Likewise, if a hurricane, earthquake, or tornado make your home unusable, you want to be able to set up camp and still be relatively comfortable. Even during a survival scenario, staying warm, dry, hydrated, and fed doesn't have to seem like roughing it. At survival-gear.com, our goal is to better prepare you by providing full-fledged survival kits that you can absolutely count on. Visit survival-gear.com and check out our premium line of survival kits.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Okay, and we're back, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Jim Stach from Freedom Fighter Radio, and we're talking about the globalist agenda. We're talking about the United Nations Agenda 21. We're talking about all of the groups that are in support that you might support yourself, but you weren't aware of it. You weren't aware of what their involvement is, like Numbers USA, the Immigration Reform Group, and others that are giving us lip service, giving us patriots lip service, and telling us what they think we want to hear. But when you look behind the scenes, they're all in collusion with each other. And you mentioned before the break that about the incrementalism as far as how the globalists have been gradually conditioning and programming us. And this is something that I talk about a lot on my show, the whole boil the frog scenario. Now we've got the Environmental Protection Agency in our schools, you know, telling our kids there is global warming is real. No matter what your parents tell you, they're brainwashing our children. Been doing it for a while, and you can see it. You can see it in our culture. You can see it in some of these. You know that ad that was played during the Super Bowl last year, the Green Police. You know, to the tune of the Cheap Trick song, the Dream Police, and everybody thought it was cute and they thought it was amusing. I thought it was horrifying. I mean, they were dragging people out of their cars because they threw a soda can in the trash bin. You know,
makes me want to, and I don't do it because, look, man, I'm not a tree hugger, but I'm not going to drive down the highway when I'm criticizing these environmental tree huggers. That doesn't mean I go down the highway and I just, I eat a candy bar and I throw the paper out the window. I drink my bottled water and I throw it out the window. But, you know, by their own admission, we got to remember the hacked emails of the global warming scientists that everybody has forgotten about, that it was all a lie. They've even openly admitted that the best way to achieve global government, that they will lie if necessary to do it. In the environmental movement, this New World Order, which was actually comes out of, if you really want to go back, comes out of the Third Reich. The Hitler's regime was all caught up in this, and it's really a mesh of the Third Reich and communism. Green is the new red. I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, but it is a form to, like you say, through decades, and a series of meetings. We've heard about the North American Union. We got the European Union. We got the Asian Union. We got the African Union. And what they got to break it down. You bring like a bunch of nations into one region here and there, and then once they're all together, then you fit them puzzle pieces together, and that's how we're going to see it. I mean, the elimination of our national sovereignty and a seamless system of global governance, okay, this is what we are up against. And like I say, I cannot stress enough, the most major blow that the freedom movement can take against Agenda 21, if we really want to see a step forward and a major defeat and blow to the UN's Agenda 21, I would say it would be to see the destruction of Numbers USA, to see that organization destroyed. People say, well, Jim, you're talking about hate. That's right. The love of God is the hate evil, and I hate anything that wants to destroy our sovereignty, and any organization that's working against the interests of the American people, I will take a strong and passionate stand against it. If I have to stand in a field of a baseball bat myself against heavily armed men with AK-47s, I will die on my feet before I live on my knees.
Right, absolutely, and you know, you're out there on the street level too. I mean, you're not just some guy, you know, blowing hot air on the radio or ranting on a blog, man. You, I mean, you've gone out there to the protests and you've had your share of death threats and your house shot up.
Yeah, you can Google that. Wait, before you go on, I do want to say people can Google gunshot precedes NAU protest. Just hours before a protest against world government that we had in Atlanta a few years ago, the North American Union, my home was shot up, and that is still unsolved. Bullet missed me by about 6 feet, went through five walls of my house, multiple rounds, and the Columbia County Sheriff's Office Wichita number 706-541-2800, still is ignoring threats to me by ways of emails, phone calls, and is refusing to take action as well. But yet, they had no problem with me arresting me for displaying the sign of distress on the night Obama was elected in 2008 with 12 officers at gunpoint and held me for 11 hours on a disorderly conduct charge, which was eventually thrown out in court after spending all kind of money to fight it. But, yeah, they wanted to arrest me for displaying the sign of distress, but yet they didn't want to follow up. They don't want to follow up threats on my life and the fact that my home's been shot up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've also...
And I got word that they even know who shot it up. And I know the person, and I can't prove it, they shot it up, and they know who it is, but they don't want to do anything about it. Why? Because it's a way of demonizing people like yourself and myself that want to question authority. And the Columbia County Sheriff's Office went on record to actually tell the local population by way of the printed media that I was advocating the killing of members of Congress by wearing a shirt that said, "Kill Congress," when the shirt actually said, "I want you to fire Congress." So the Columbia County Sheriff's Department are a bunch of jackbooted Nazi thugs, and I don't care if they don't like it. They want to come kick my door in for doing that? Go right ahead, because when free speech is done away with, dumb and silent will be led like sheep to the slaughter, George Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that just goes to show you, you know, what you get from the media, you know. It's like you wear a shirt that says "Fire Congress," and the media reports in your area that you were making threats against congressmen.
Are they freaking idiots? And the guy that did that, his name is Bill Probus, and here's what's interesting: last year he resigned because he deleted about a half a dozen emails. Allegedly, it was an accident. Which one email was requesting police presence at an upcoming party that they. Because he deleted it, they weren't able to provide it, and there was a gang-style shooting at a party which resulted in a homicide, and he resigned shortly, a few months later, he resigned from the Sheriff's Department. That was one of the head investigators, a guy by the name of Bill Probus. I got him in my About section on my website, who's the one that I'll say out-and-out lied in... while on duty, representing the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, as he was interviewed with the Metro Spirit by the Metro Spirit reporter Eric Johnson. This is not anything, and I've been saying this. He hasn't been able to file a defamation or slander suit for me because he knows it'll open up a whole can of worms on him.
Mm-hmm. Well. It's a great thing that you're out there, and you got we got freedom fighters out there who are not taking the not swallowing the lies and not backing down, turtling, rolling over to the powers that be, and that's what it's going to take. You know, that's what it's going to take, people. I mean, the time for making speeches and impassioned rhetoric is over. I mean, if you see anybody's rights being violated, if your rights are being violated, if you allow anybody's rights to be violated, you don't say anything about it, then you're part of the problem. And all it takes is to shine a light, because I'll tell you what, darkness has to flee from light. It doesn't work the other way around. Darkness cannot banish the light. Only light can banish darkness. And the only way that's going to happen is if we open our eyes, and it takes more, really. I mean, I talk about, you know, people got to wake up, the sheep got to, you know, wake from their slumber. It takes more than just waking up, and I realized that myself. I went through that myself when I realized, well, I'm awake now, and so, you know, that was it. No, that's not it. You got to be awake, and you got to, if you, like I always say, I turn the words of Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, around. If you see something, say something. And I'm taking ownership of that.
Otherwise, accept what comes. And you know, you're not just part of the problem if you remain silent. You're actually more evil than the problem. Because, again, tolerance in the face of when confronting evil is a crime in and of itself.
Absolutely.
A moral crime. It may not be a crime on paper, according to the government. And you know what? We are all obligated, as our founding father said, that any unjust law, we don't just have the right to disobey it.
We have the duty to disobey it.
Absolutely. We have the duty and obligation to defy any law that conflicts with the Constitution. And the levels of a tyrant are only prescribed by the endurance of those that they oppress. The reason that the patriot community is being walked on and rode over is because we as Americans have not developed a zero-tolerance policy for tyranny. And I'm telling your listeners, when you go out and vote, if you do go out and vote, you know what? Wear an empty gun holster or rifle bag on your back. It's not against the law. You'll be questioned. You might even be searched. But you'll create some good dialogue, maybe with the media. And you know what? If you're afraid to speak out of fear of giving offense to your government, then as Patrick Henry said in his famous Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech, you're committing treason. You're committing treason against your nation and against the cause of liberty. So I want everybody that's hearing me tonight to go out and wear your gun holster. If you're a felon and you can't own a gun, then buy a gun holster, get a cheap one, wear it when you go vote, wear it to rallies, wear it when you go shopping. There's no law against wearing a gun holster, even in target-rich environments, also known as gun-free zones.
And I'd like to add to that, if you live in a free state, like I do, like here in the great state of New Hampshire, and you don't need anybody's permission to carry a gun openly, then you ought to be doing that.
And have somebody that's with you, but they're far enough away from you, with a video camera, preferably hidden, so that you can film the whole, from the time you walk into the building to the time you get into a safe, you know, you're safely out of, you're done with your action, capture the whole thing on video. I think it would be totally awesome if we can get thousands of people wearing gun holsters when they go vote. Can you imagine if the Tea Party, and I know they've been, I have problems with them because, you know, Republican sonnet, but regardless, if a million patriots showed up in D.C. with rifle bags on their back, you're like, you know, I have a nylon rifle bag I wear for when I go hunting. You don't have a rifle on it. If a million people did, they're going to be searched, but they won't have the manpower to search them. Is there any law against carrying a nylon rifle bag?
No.
Not that I'm aware of, nor is there a law carrying a holster on your belt. You know, if they want to waste our time, then it's about time we commit acts of civil disobedience. Let's exhaust their resources, tie up their man hours, you know, because if they want to screw with us, it's about time we screw with them, because that's the proper response. Because let them know that we are an armed citizenry, and they're treading very close to the breaking point, and when the American people just snap, because that day is coming if they don't back off.
And I just wanted to mention as well about the UN and you know they want to disarm America. And for those of you who think that the Small Arms Treaty was defeated, it wasn't. It was only delayed. This Small Arms Treaty is going up for vote again. They decided to push it back until after the elections. Surprise, surprise. So our Second Amendment is still under assault, people. It's still under attack. And this is something that we can't. They would like us to think that it's been defeated, just so that they can sneak it in the dead of night like a thief. But it's not a dead issue.
I think they're insane because, you know, the American people, what caused the first American Revolution to go hot was when they physically came to disarm American citizens. We all know that famous day, April 19, 1775, on the Village Green.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if they try to repeat history in disarming us, we will also, in turn, repeat history and offer the same response. And I'm not here to say go out and shoot a cop now. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I do openly advocate and condone and encourage collective armed resistance to national gun confiscation. My family came, my grandfather came from Krakow, Poland. And need I say more, you can probably figure why my family left Krakow, Poland. But My family, we lost people in the Holocaust. But you know what? I'll tell you, my family members that were killed in the Holocaust, here's the thing, and it was real. I know there's people that want to deny it, but here's the thing. There were two groups of people during the Holocaust, and I realize there were more non-Jews killed, but the 6 million Jews that willingly allowed themselves to walk into the concentration camps was not a heroic act. The victims and survivors, there was nothing heroic about it. Mm-hmm. The only heroes of the Holocaust were the ones that resisted, like the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Those were the heroes, okay? You know, we cannot have this sheeple mentality like we're at a slaughterhouse and we're being herded to where they shoot you with a little bullet in the head or smash your head in, you know, depending on how cows are executed. We're not going to allow that. We need to be that cattle that when they're hurting us, we try to resist and fight and turn away and break out of the gate, you know? Mm-hmm. That is our duty. And, you know, look, we don't want it to go violent. They have the opportunity because there is a revolution in this country. How long it remains peaceful, it's up to them. Right. We will defend, not attack. And that's what separates us from them, and that's what separated our founding fathers from honorable, moral men and a tyrannical government is they defended. They reacted against unjust actions. They didn't commit actions. They defended their homes, and they gave up their homes. They even lost their family members. And the word patriot is thrown around too loosely. I've lost my home. I've lost everything I own in this fight over years. But, you know, I don't regret it because at least, you know, I can say I stood for something.
I'm glad you make that distinction. You know, nobody's advocating that anybody instigate or take up an offensive position about this.
Correct.
But if you are being threatened, if your life, your liberty is being threatened, then you have the right, you have the duty to fight back. And
yeah,
that's
kicked in the head like that guy in Ohio. We've seen the video, you know, the guy getting his head kicked in.
Yeah.
You have the right. If you're being kicked in the head by the police, you have the duty. And the people standing around watching it have a duty to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
When Oscar Grant was shot and killed in Oakland, you know, you have the obligation, the moral responsibility to defend fellow citizens.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is the difference. I'm not saying to go out and attack them. I'm saying to defend. And
right.
That's what separates us from evil. There's nothing evil in defending your life or the life of a third party against evil atrocities. That's not mm-hmm. evil. It wasn't evil to fight the Nazis.
Of course not.
And by the way, while we're at it, while we're speaking of tyranny, I do want to point out that Obama approved it and Paul Ryan voted for it. And Mark Rubio, who is also in the Republican convention, voted for the 30,000 drones. I got a blog on that with the link to how they voted. 30,000 mm-hmm. drones would be flown over the 30 largest, most populated areas in the United States. The VP nominee for the Republican Party voted for it. Mark Rubio, who spoke there, voted for it as well. And yes, in all fairness, so did the Democrats. They supported it. So there's another show me the difference between the two parties on tyranny. What do we need 30,000 drones to help the police over American cities? You know, why do we need preventative detention programs as well? The National Defense Authorization Act that the so-called patriot Alan West voted for as well. I'm telling you, please, I'd love to hear from someone to tell me the true distinction between the Republicans and the Democrats, because I fail to see it. I fail mm-hmm. to see it.
Yeah, and
you got the Republicans supporting the Patriot Act, you got the Democrats supporting it, and you're going to tell me the Republicans are going to give us more freedom?
Ironically, Paul Ryan was selected to appease the Ron Paul contingency because he's supposed to.
I'm a Ron Paul supporter, and I don't buy into it. I'm writing in. I'm not going to participate in an exercise of tyranny, which is all elections are. It's an exercise of tyranny. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh no! Well, that was basically the point was that Paul Ryan is supposed to be like a libertarian light, or you know, he's supposed to support a lot of Ron Paul's platforms and ideas and everything. And
even though he voted for the Patriot Act, voted for 30,000 drones at the cost of $25.7 billion. okay, mm-hmm. while they're talking about government expenses, you know, and wasted expenses. I want him. Why does it? I hope someone in the debates ask him about that. Why he voted for 30,000 drones at the cost of over $25 billion to fly over our skies. Yeah, mm-hmm. Obama's going to bring us into a socialist country, but then again, you got the Republicans giving the police state more and more muscle. Mm-hmm. By helping militarize the police departments. What are they afraid of? Only crooked politicians need to fear angry and armed citizens.
Mm-hmm. A righteous government has nothing to fear from an armed populace.
Absolutely. And these aren't just empty words we're throwing out there, man. I have lived in it, man. I've had my home shot up. I've had the death threats, you know. And, you know, I got fatwas on me from rabid Muslims. But you know what? If we all refuse to stand up, they win. Okay,
right.
You know, 100 patriots. You can remember the great story of the 300 Spartans that a million Persians tried to disarm, and they lost what 100,000 in the process. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we must do as patriots, man. 300 dedicated people, or even 300,000. Can put 10 times the amount to flight, man.
Absolutely.
A well-dedicated, armed, dedicated patriot is worth, again, at least 1,000 of the enemies of freedom. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. History will prove what I'm saying. From Gideon's army in the Bible, to Samson, to Joshua, to the Spartans, you know, the 300 and all that, which is based on a true incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's all throughout history. The Alamo, you know.
Our original.
The small numbers have always achieved the greatest victories in freedom have been achieved by small groups of men and women throughout history since the dawn of man.
Small groups with conviction, just like our first revolution. If you went by the odds, there was no way we should have won. Only a third of the population was in support of the revolution. So,
absolutely. And yet they tried to disillusion us by, well, we can't fight the drones. They got satellites. They got drones. They got all these LRADs and all these modern-day weapons. I'm here to tell you that it can be brought down. The biggest weapon against us before they ever bring the hammer down is to do everything in our power to create a sense of hopelessness and despair that there's no way you can win,
mm-hmm.
so that you're willing to surrender, you're willing to give up. They want to eliminate your will to fight and resist.
That's exactly
what they do prior to bringing the hammer down. They do everything they can to engage in psychological warfare, mind control through the media, through printed, through the radio, through TV, talking heads. They'll do everything that you cannot win. They're too large. They're better man. They have state-of-the-art weaponry. You can't defeat them. Well, remember the Afghans beat the Soviet army by dropping boulders on them when their helicopters were flying over hills because they were so heavy. Soviet helicopters were actually brought down in the hills of Afghanistan with catapults and people hurling rocks like the size of basketballs down above the helicopters. They brought down countless Soviet helicopters. People with rocks.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you, man.
It could be, yeah, absolutely. It can be done. And, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than, I mean, people that I know, personal friends of mine, you know, I tell them this stuff. I point out to them how they're being, why they're slaves and how we're losing our freedom and our liberty. And there's nothing more frustrating to have them shrug and say, well, you know, you can't fight City Hall, that kind of mentality.
And that's why we see the attack on a family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you destroy the family, the family unit, you destroy the soul of a nation. And that's why we're seeing the attack on the American families and the rights of parents.
Mm-hmm. You know who's instigated the whole women's liberation movement in the 70s?
Well, we have got Gloria Steinem and others, but go ahead.
Well, that was engineered in order to break up the nuclear family. That was that
basically the New World Order, the powers that be, the banksters. They realized that if they could, they only had half of the population in the United States paying income taxes because most women were stay at home, taking care of their kids, raising their families and whatnot. If they could get women out in the workforce, that would break up the nuclear family. The family structure would be destroyed, first of all. Now weaken our society, weaken our culture, and also generate more income for the banksters through income taxes.
And emasculate the men, you know, and actually create, and our politicians that we say are on our side have become nothing more than political eunuchs as well. This is, you know,
as whole age of political. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That was a blatant interruption. Go right ahead.
Hey, the goal of the New World Order, again, I can't say it more often enough. There's the ultimate goal of the New World Order, their ultimate objective is to destroy the family and to separate us from having a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't attend church because I think religious institutions, so many of them are 501c. They're basically branches of the government to pacify a population to comply with the government, an unjust government. You don't need the concrete walls to worship and have a relationship with Christ.
Right.
But that's what they want. They don't want us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the goal of the New World Order. It's the ultimate goal. I mean, think of the terminology, the Luciferian agenda, the Illuminati. Look at the symbology, the occultic practices. What is all that about? Who's behind it? But I'm not trying to get religious, but these are exciting times that, you know, and how do you want your ancestors to remember you? The legacy, are they going to remember you as someone that handed over their freedom and sacrificed their future because out of your selfish greed of, you know, that you didn't care about your children or your grandchildren's future? You know, that's what, you know, people need to think of. How are your children, your grandchildren, and their children going to know you by? I mean, what stories are they going to tell, those of you listening? What are they going to say? Because we all talk about, at least our family does, we talk about our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and we tell stories about what they were like and what they did, and especially if you're third or fourth generation Americans, like my dad's side of the family, escaping anti-Semitism in Poland, you know, we learn what they're about and what they stood for. Well, the question is what? How are we going to be remembered? And that's the question that every American listening to your show needs to search their heart is, how are they going to be remembered generations from now?
Yep. Or as I tell people who doubt those who are complacent and they say, well, you know what, I think I've got a free life or whatever, I tell them, well, then you better start figuring out how to answer your kids when they ask you why you allowed them to become slaves.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, at the age of 6 years old, I was in Nuremberg, Germany. Is it okay if we tell you the story again to your listeners? Do we have time?
No, absolutely. Go right ahead.
At the age of six, I remember seeing thousands and thousands of refugees. I mean, I could see them. I could hear them. Well, what happened is I was living in Nuremberg, Germany in 1967. My dad was stationed overseas, and there was a radio station in Czechoslovakia, and I can't recall, I'm sure I can Google it, but they dared to challenge some unjust policies of the USSR, the former Soviet Republic, which really didn't go anywhere, even though the wall came down, it's still there. But they questioned the policies of their government, and the Soviets' response was to drop armed parachuters, military, into Czechoslovakia. They brought tanks into Czechoslovakia. Some people died. People were fleeing with just what they could carry, their children and the clothes on their back. Okay? That was in 1967. Okay? Then if you fast forward even a few years later, I remember living in Panama Canal Zone when the treaty went up about 15-16 during the Panama Canal treaties, and I organized the protests on that in the late 70s because I said if the American relinquished their sovereignty over the Panama Canal, the communists will have control of it down the road. And what do we have today? I'll tell you what we have. The Chinese government runs and operates the Panama Canal today. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I've been involved in this since, and I'm 52, for the last 35 years. I've been speaking out, maybe not with a website or show, standing up for liberty, standing up for freedom, because I don't want my country to become what my great-grandfather left Europe to get away from. I don't want America to become what he left to leave, you know, what he left Europe for. He came here to establish, to work hard so that his family could live free and become something. And I'm not going to run, and I'm not going to flee this country and escape the Uruguay if I won a lottery, because that's an act of cowardice, okay? Cowards flee, heroes fight.
All right, Jim. Well, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for everything you're doing out there. And why don't you remind our listeners where they can find your website?
Sure. It's freedomfighterradio.com. I'll probably be readdressing some of this in weeks to come. My email's contact@freedomfighterradio.com. And, you know, they can support my site. You know, we got some things for sale on there. You probably do, too. Give me a call later if you can after the show. I'd love to talk to you. But if anyone decides they want to buy a Wicked Laser from there, I'm gonna offer you, in addition to what I'm selling, the laser kits at a 7 or 12-piece optical lens kit, which is a $50 value to the most powerful handheld burning laser you can own. It's like 1.25 watts. You can go to my site to see it. I'll offer just for the next 10 days, 2 weeks, I should say, a free optical lens kit with the laser while supplies last. So, you know, it's another way they can support me and struggle to be able to make it another day, you know, because, again, you know, it's kind of hard to get a good paying job when you've been, demonized by your government and your local community.
Well, there you have it, folks. Support a patriot and tell them you heard about it on Survival and Beyond. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for this installment here on Natural News Radio, as well as the Prepper Podcast Radio Network. And I'd like to thank my guests, Dan Bacon and Craig Cottle from Dan's Depot and Nature Reliance School, respectively. And I'd also like to thank Jim Statch, who you just heard from Freedom Fighter Radio and freedomfighterradio.net. Go check out his website, check out his show. Join and support in the Patriot as well as the Prepper movement, the Patriot Prepper movement, as I like to call it, or the Prepper Patriot movement. And while you're at it, check out survivalandbeyond.net, where we got lots of survival guides for free for the download, survival videos, all the news that you're not going to get from the mainstream disinformation machine. And come and like us on Facebook. We got a Facebook page. I keep forgetting to mention that. It's at facebook.com/survivalandbeyond. So until next week, as usual, keep your head up, keep on living free, and don't take any crap from anybody, because this is America, damn it. Catch you next week.